heart is full today with the blessings of the Lord this week. Appreciate your prayers as we look into the word of the Lord. My name is Michael Gellenbeck from Guthrie, Oklahoma. And I'd like to just talk a little bit about the benefits of the Lord and how to receive those benefits. The song that was just sung, Find Us Faithful, goes right along with the message the Lord has given me. You know, the Lord has a heart today. He has a heart for His people. He wants them to enjoy their salvation. He wants us to enjoy His service. He wants us to enjoy serving others and being in His will. And it is His pleasure to give us the kingdom. You know, that phrase we know so well, it's my pleasure. God started that. It's His pleasure. It's His pleasure that He came and gave Himself so that we could have this. Luke 12:32 says, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And I'm interested in all of us enjoying the kingdom today, enjoying the fullness of the kingdom. And salvation is just a little start of what God has intended for us to have in our life. And to be saved, the act of being saved, to come to the Lord with repentance and having Him come in is just the start of the life the Lord wants us to have in Him. And I think sometimes, like Brother Butch, it seems like this is just the second part of what Brother Butch preached last night about the abundance the Lord has for us. People get saved, and they do some of those steps. And sometimes there's a lack of what the Lord wants us to reach. The children of Israel did that. When they went into the land of Canaan, they fought, they had some victories, but they never expanded their borders to what God intended. And today, I want to just think about what God has intended for us to enjoy today. And to have faith to believe that there is something greater than ourselves. There's something to be enjoyed much more than what we can temporally make in ourselves. There's something so much greater than having the American dream, of having a good retirement, of having things set up well in this life, because things change so quickly. Opportunities come and they go, and it is our responsibility to seek the Lord for those windows of opportunity to serve Him, to please Him, to be living to the fullest we can live for Him. You know, part of the privilege, some of the foundation I want to lay is the privilege we have. In Revelation 3:20, it says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. What Jesus got, he's giving to us. And when we think about the impact of what Jesus really has planned for our lives, it is just beyond imagination and compare. It says in another place that he gave us power to become the sons of God, to be his. Another verse in Psalm 36, just to lay this foundation, Psalm 36:7-9. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. For with thee is the fountain of life, and in thy light shall we see light. You know, that's where we're going to find this fulfillment. This contentment is in his light. When we walk in his light, we see light. When we try to do it our way, when we try to make our own light, it doesn't go very far. We trip, we fall. But in the Lord's light, we see light, and we shall abundantly be satisfied with fatness. This is what God has intended for us. He said in Acts 2, he said he will pour out his spirit on us. We think about pouring. There's not really any measure in that. He just will pour out his spirit on us. So we want to think about, Lord, I know it's not in me to save myself. We don't have the currency to pay to get salvation. But there is an act of giving ourselves and of continually giving ourselves and of seeking God, that he would work his will completely in our lives to where we can have this experience. And it's not just always on the mountaintop. We still deal with life. But if we can let our hearts go out to him in faith, to where we can be faithful at whatever area of life he has us in, he will be able to give us this abundance of life, where we can know that we're a child of God. So, in John 7 and 17, it says, if any man will do his will, he shall know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness in him. Sometimes it seems like we're handicapped because there's areas of our life maybe that we're holding back on the Lord. And we don't know everything, but it sounds simple. It says, if any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine. And Jesus was meaning, if we will just, without abandon, do his will, not hold on to anything we have, not hold on to any preconceived ideas or opinions that we have, but let the Lord truly work in our lives. You know, he'll make us into this fountain of blessing, an abundance of fatness, where we will be balanced in what the Lord wants us to do. We will have things revealed to us that other people may not know as much. And, you know, we sit in heavenly places here. We share in the goodness of what God has given us. And this is not a rebuke to anyone, but it's just a way to stir up our pure minds, to let the Lord have his perfect way in us, to where he can perfect us into his image. So I want to look a little while at Hebrews 11, at some of these ones that took the promises of God for substance, for ground that they could stand on when they didn't see the result and no one else around them saw the result. And that is the essence of what I want to get to, is believing so strongly in the benefits before we see anything, before we see heaven, before we see the results of any labor we do. The Lord wants us to stake our lives in the ground of his faith. And that is so strong that it says without it, we can't please the Lord. We can't do His will perfectly if we don't have this. So I want to start there in just Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I think how vital that is to our Christian walk with the Lord. Faith is the very substance. It's the ground. It's what we build on. And it's not what the world understands. They don't see it this way. Sometimes it doesn't even make sense to us rationally. Sometimes the Lord calls us to places that we're not real sure what the outcome is. But we can have faith that the substance of what God has called us to, He will build His foundation and His building on that. So it says, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The very existence of this world was just framed by the word of God, just Him speaking. And if we can think that everything that we see, everything that we temporarily have hope in here, was just framed by the word of God, isn't He faithful enough to do that in our lives when He gives us His word? When He calls us, it's His word, just like His word when He made the world. So when He calls us, He has something of substance that He's calling us to. It's not just an aimless hope that we're striving for, but it's something that has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So some of these men that are examples here, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. You know, Abel wasn't trying to get ahead of his brother. He wasn't trying to figure out, okay, how can I make this look better than Cain? How can I be better than him? That wasn't his idea at all. But Cain's idea was, what can I get by with? Abel's idea is, what is the best I can give the Lord? And the Lord saw that, and He smiled on that. You know, the Lord loves it when we give Him our strength. When we serve Him, when we have other options, the Lord can take that, and He sees that sacrifice. He understands that in our human flesh, that it is a sacrifice. If we look at it eternally, the benefits far outweigh any sacrifice we give here. But, you know, the Lord understands that, and He sees our heart. And when we give Him ourselves in our strength, in our ability to do other things, you know, He smiles on that. He takes pleasure, and He did that with Abel. It says in the 6th verse, without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We must believe in the benefits that God has for us. We must believe that He is our rewarder. We don't have to create this. We don't have to defend ourselves. We don't have to make sure that we're comfortable. The Lord has a reward for us that's much greater than anything we can do in this life. And by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. You know, Noah, he didn't do it for any carnal reason. He didn't try to say, here, I'm trying to look better than all you all. I'm going to put you in your place. He condemned the world. He condemned the world simply by his action of just wanting to follow the Lord. And you know, that's the best way that we can have a testimony to the world, is just simply, humbly following the Lord and wanting to do his will completely. And he saved his house. the Lord, we look through some of these examples in Hebrews 11, and the Lord used so many different ways to get his idea across of having faith. We don't want to put faith in a box today. Faith is in every area of our life. And we don't want to limit the Lord and what he can do with our individual lives. Just Noah building a boat out there on the ground sounds so ridiculous, but yet he saved his family. He saved not only his family, he saved the human race and the animal kingdom. But the Lord has had a special purpose in that. And Noah didn't fall to the pressure of the world. He didn't fall to the ridicule. But he simply believed God, not because he saw the end of it, but he knew that God was real, and he staked his life on it. Abraham, let's think about Abraham a little bit. When he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promises in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. You know, Abraham lived his life in a way that he wanted to please God with everything he had. He raised his children that way. There was another place I don't have, but it says that God trusted Abraham because he would command his children after him. Am I right on that? That was Abraham. The Lord had faith in Abraham because Abraham had faith in the Lord. And he went out to a place he didn't know. He didn't know what the end was. And he said he lived in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, his children. He passed it on to his children. He said, children, we're not citizens of this world. We're living in these tents. He gave it to his children. You know, today we need to give things to our children. We need to let them know that we're not citizens of this world. We don't have to do what the world does. We don't have to run to the same excess of riot. We don't have to try to compare ourselves to the world or to each other. We're citizens of a heavenly country. We have a building whose foundations are in heaven. The builder and maker is God. It's a privilege to serve God. It's a privilege to not have to live to the passions of our life here, to not have to live to the bitterness that we have. We heard about forgiveness yesterday. You know, that holds so many people back sometimes from finding the fullness of God, is because there's just a few little things that we're trying to hold on to here, and God has this whole storehouse of blessing and of purpose in our life. You know, these men that we're reading about today in Hebrews 11, they did not let those things hinder them. They let the Lord take those things in whatever way that he called for them, and they let the Lord have complete control in that. Let's read the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You know, we can say things all day long. We can say that we're pilgrims, we're strangers, we want people to follow, we want to be faithful, all these things. But they declared it with their life. They said it, and they declared it by their actions. And the Lord wants us to declare it by our actions today, to follow him completely in this life. You know, some of these men had a colorful history. I think of Samson. He's listed as in here in the faith chapter. And Samson, I think of the potential that Samson had. What did God really want to do with Samson? By faith, the Lord was able to use him at the last, and he did have a victory there at the end of his life. And I don't want to discount Samson and God's faithfulness to him, but what did God really want to do with Samson? He had the opportunity to expand the Canaan borders to what God originally intended, I believe. And I don't know, but he let a few little things in his life hinder him from being used completely by God. Because I believe he was saved in the end. But for most of his life, he did not conquer that fleshly desire of lust. And we think of the things that hold us back today. There is so much potential in each individual life that God has. He has a plan for each one of our lives. He has thoughts of peace and not of evil. And, you know, the Lord has a life of purpose for each one of us, and I want to see that purpose fulfilled in me. I want to see that purpose fulfilled in each one. Let's examine ourselves today that, Lord, I don't want anything to hinder me from being what you want me to be in life. Luke 12 and 33, there's a little more instruction of what we can do and the benefits we get from it. We read the verse 32 earlier. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Sell that ye have. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he says, let your loins be girded about and your lights burning. And ye yourselves liken to men that wait for their Lord, when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and he will come forth and serve them. This is a promise from the Lord, and it was so drastic in the disciples' minds that later on, Peter said, Lord, do you speak this parable unto all or just to us? And Jesus said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whose Lord shall make rule over his household? He was saying, who is it? It's anyone. Anyone has this privilege of the Lord coming in and supping with us and serving us, giving us our portion, what we need to serve him. It's not something that's too great for any one of us. The Lord has a victory for each one of us to gain, where we can be at peace with him and we can be to our full potential. One little scripture in Acts 13 and 36. Just one part of it. It says, for David, after he served his own generation by the will of God, fell on sleep and was laid unto his fathers and saw no corruption. And Brother Marty talked a lot about windows of opportunity. And in the first message of Monarch, you know, David had opportunities too, and he fell asleep. But he served God in his generation. That's the phrase I want to get today. We all have windows of opportunity. We have windows of opportunity in our lives. We have an opportunity to learn when we're young. We have an opportunity to serve in our strength when we're young. We have opportunity to give knowledge and experience when we're older. But if we hold back and say, God, I'm going to wait until things are settled, until I've got it figured out, and then I'll give you my strength. It doesn't work that way. Things come up in life where sometimes we become handicapped in ways, and the Lord has ways to use us even there. The Lord has ways to use every one of us. But, you know, people pass on, and then responsibilities are put on others. And those windows of opportunity come, and then they go so quickly sometimes. And if you don't have a burning purpose and aim right now, and God hasn't laid something on you, it's not time just to say, well, I've got time. I'm just going to go enjoy myself. But it's time to learn. It's time to seek the Lord till He can give you that. And sometimes that takes years. It took Moses 40 years wandering around in the wilderness before the Lord had His true plan in action in Moses' life. Moses was 80 years old. He was 40 years, and then he had spent another 40 years in the desert. The Lord doesn't measure time like we do. We don't have to get impatient that the Lord doesn't have some great plan and purpose for our lives. Sometimes He brings us through very hard things for years. I think of Joseph being in prison for so long, of being enslaved, and of him not understand. Joseph's listed in the Hebrews 11 chapter, the Hebrews of Faith. And Joseph didn't see the end of the picture, but he had faith. He had enough faith to stake it in that substance that, God, I'm going to do it Your way. I'm going to please You. I'm going to do the right things, even though I don't see any benefit in doing it this way. And the Lord was faithful to Joseph to bring him out. We never know what the Lord will do with our lives. We don't have to have a plan for our lives that says, God, by the time I'm 30, I want to be doing this and this and this. God doesn't do that with us. But we are just His. We're just His. We're just His to use however He sees fit. In John 7 and 37, another promise. Jesus, He stood in the feast and cried. Let me turn over there. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried. It was something heavy on His heart. It wasn't just something light. He wanted people to hear. He said, "If any man thirsts, let him come unto Me. He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake He of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." You know, Jesus, He knew this day was coming. And He wanted everyone to experience the fullness of blessing, the fullness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He cried and He says, "If you just will hear Me, if you will thirst after Me, if you will seek Me with all your heart," He says, "you'll find Me." He says here, "He that believeth on Me, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." He pours on us, and it's going to flow out of us. That is the intent of the gospel. That's the intent that Jesus came to bring, is to have each one of us flow. Have His blessings flow out of us. It's not just something we take in, but it's something we give out. And in John 3 and 34, this is a scripture the Lord gave me personally the other day when I was seeking Him. And it says, "For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him." John was speaking about Jesus here. But Jesus said, "I've given you all things. Everything the Father gives, I give to you." So I believe we can claim this scripture today, that if the Lord sends us, if the Lord tells us to stay home and do work at home, whatever the Lord tells us to do, He says he will give us his Spirit, not by measure. He'll pour out his Spirit on us. And I'm thankful today that we can stand on these promises. We can believe these promises. We can stake our life here. We can let go of the things that hinder us. We can let go of the temptations that hinder us. We can let the Lord work and reign in our lives. You know, we talked about Samson holding on. Asa was another one that he wanted to hold on to some things. Asa served the Lord, but then toward the end of his life, this story is in 2 Chronicles 16. Asa tried to get in there and take control of some things. There was the Assyrians that came up. He sent the league. He requested that Syria come and help him. Let's just get that so I don't get it confused. So that's in 2 Chronicles 16 and 1. In the 6th and 30th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramah to the intent that he might not let none go out nor come in to Asa, king of Judah. So the king of Israel came up against Judah, and he sent for the Syrians to come and help him. And the Lord sent the seer, the prophet, by to talk to Asa. And in the 9th verse, he said, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Henceforth thou hast done foolishly, therefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." And Asa was angry. He still didn't humble his heart there. He put the prophet in prison instead of listening to his counsel. You know, we can't go about it our way. We can't expect the blessings of God, peace and safety in our lives. We can't expect to have this fullness of what God intended if we put our hand on what God has sent. Asa should have sought the Lord about what to do about the matter instead of going to the hand of man. We can go to the hand of man in all kinds of areas of our life. We can go to the hand of ourselves just thinking, I think I've got this one figured out. I can do this. But the Lord, his eyes are running to and fro in the whole earth. He just wants to do it. It's his pleasure to do it, like we talked about earlier. He wants to show himself strong to us. And it is our pleasure to claim those promises today. If we finish up there in Luke 12, where we were reading, where we started about it's the Father's good pleasure, there's some other promises there. He says in the 28th verse, "If God then so clothe the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." And that's our thought this morning, that we don't have to seek like the world does. We don't have to go about it the way the world does. God has a kingdom that the world knows nothing about that we can enjoy today. And he's just asking us to seek him with our whole heart, to seek him like hid treasure in a field. We were out there in California earlier this year, and we went up to the gold fields where they first discovered gold in California, reading about all the methods and techniques and ways that people came to California trying to just find a little bit of that gold. And one of my children, Well, we bought some pans, some gold pans, and we were going to see if we could find a few flakes. And it was hard work, and finally they said, you know, I'd rather go somewhere where I could just pick it up off the ground. But it's not the way it works, is it? We don't find gold that way. We can't just go out and pick it up at our leisure. But it's something we seek for, we dig for, we search with all of our heart, and we will find that gold. We'll find it in abundant supply. We won't have need like the world has need. You pray for me that I'll find this true in my life. I don't have a lot of experience to back all this up, but I do have faith in the substance of what God has said, that He has a promised land. He has a building foundations that we can stake our life on, that it will work in life, and I intend to add to my experiences in life where I can say it's true. But by faith, it is true, and that's what we stand on today before we see the results. You pray for me.